Hello guys, welcome to Run Planet, another episode. Hopefully that all of you guys are doing fantastic. I'm drinking my coffee here, looking the snow outside. Here we are in almost April and we got a little snow coming here down in Chicago. Well, welcome to Chicago. Anyway, I'm going to be discussing some interesting things today. Aerobic threshold. And it's very important that you understand what that is and how it differs in all different people and how it can help you to improve your running. So let me start with, we're not talking about anaerobic threshold, we're talking about aerobic threshold. And the biggest difference, you know, when we call it, you know, one we can say is aerobic and anaerobic, so AT versus ANT. So basically, or in other words, a lot of times coaches call it L1 and L2, but specifically what we're going to be talking about here is basically, if you want me to put it in more easier terms, I'm going to go ahead and say that your current marathon fitness, that is your aerobic threshold. It's very important that your aerobic threshold is good, because if your aerobic threshold is not good, you are limiting yourself being a good runner at anything that's, of course, longer than a mile and 5K, 10K, half and marathon, and it could just get worse as you go on. And a lot of times people ask me, you know, like, how do you improve that, and how do you determine at what effort does that occur? And I'm going to say, well, okay, look at your training, look at your running, and just kind of see what's your, you know, if you can plug in, and there's so many calculators, you can plug in your race performances and other distances, and just to see how do you match up, you know, starting from the mile and all the way to the marathon, and then you determine, hey, it looks like I'm good at this, but I'm not so good at this. And then you ask yourself a question, well, why? Okay. So people that have poor aerobic fitness may even be at their aerobic threshold right away, even at 60 or 65% of their max heart rate. And, you know, but very good trained athletes, or that have been doing for a long time, are at 85% of their max. Okay, that is definitely that aerobic threshold, you know. Now, whether you're running a little bit longer, but I'm gonna go ahead and use an example here for sure, that I think that anybody running from 2 to 3 hours can definitely maintain 85%. I think it's closer to 85% for the 3 hour mark. And then I think if it's like 4 hours, I think it goes down. I think the people that run a marathon in about 4 hours, I'd be curious to see if they can maintain 85% of their max. I would probably say a little bit less, maybe about 80%. And even the people that are running for 5 hours, maybe at 75%. And, you know, those numbers can go up and down. But what we want to do here is really just, you know, differentiate. And the better runner you are, the more aerobically fitness developed you are, the bigger the gap between your aerobic and anaerobic threshold as well. And it also can be, some people are, like my wife has a very close anaerobic and aerobic threshold. So like her marathon pace and half marathon pace, the difference is only 8 seconds per mile versus mine. Mine is a little bit more different. Mine is 5:06 per mile. And this is just like at my best, not currently. So 5:06, and then my marathon, I'm looking at my chart as I go, is at 5 28. So you see, I got a 22 second difference. So really, I'm a strength runner. I'm not a full endurance runner. So you really got to ask yourself, how you can improve those things. So what we want to talk about in this thing is how do you improve if you're not where you want? And then this is where I always tell people, like, look, you gotta run, a lot of mileage, or if you're not gonna be able to do a lot of mileage, then you at least have got to run, some of your runs at lower intensity, no matter what. So get your body used to just, being good at lower heart rates. Because I'm gonna tell you this, and I've told you guys, previously, if you're good at lower heart rates, you're probably most likely good at higher heart rates. I always, I take so many times of my year to really just focus on certain heart rates, just to get myself really, where I get to enjoy running. Because honestly, a lot of times I think people push too much in training and they don't really enjoy training. Versus me, I'm really enjoying, and it's even when I'm running fast, it doesn't feel like hard work for me because I'm enjoying it. Because I've over many years of heart rate training, I've really put emphasis on just being good at every single zone. I got this chart where I practice even running at 65%, even at 70, even at 75, and so on. And I try to make sure that, hey, like every year, if I realize I'm not good at one, then I need to improve. So, like, for example, if you once you determine, your 85%. Once you determine your 85%, for me, it is 157 beats. So that's something that I can maintain, for probably, my marathon. And it doesn't mean that I can't go a little bit more, like 160. Probably I can even a little bit more too, but that's the number that I practice in training. I pretty much know that, my marathon effort is around 157, 158. So in training, when I do, like, longer intervals at marathon race pace, I try to stay, at 155, 160 range, and I just try to get really comfortable with it. And the more I do it, the better I become. I also try to do where I run at like 150 for longer periods of time, and I become more economical at that. And the faster I become at 150, guess what? I become faster as well without really much working at it, 157. So I become faster at my marathon paces as well. So that's where the saying goes that you don't really necessarily always need to work at race paces. You can also move race paces. Or otherwise improve your lactate threshold and aerobic threshold by working at paces slightly below, because you can do more mileage, and you can, the more better you become at those paces, the more automatically you become faster at the other paces. Of course, you still have to work at those other paces, but not as much. So, like, if you become really good at one, like, if you become really good at 75%, and if you can see that you're getting better and better and better, that means you're gonna be getting better at other, other heart rates as well. So that's why it's so important to kind of, like, make sure that easy running is important, and as much as it's possible without getting injured, and as much as possible that your schedule allows, easy running does this. It improves your aerobic threshold. I look back at so many of my logs and everything, and even in 2016, when I was out of shape, when I was not in good training, I look at it like even 140 heart rate would produce me close to 7 minute miling. And I look at it like 140 heart rate now is producing close to six flat miling. And that's because, I've had consistency. I've had consistency in the last 7 years. I've gotten really good training, and I've really gotten that down. It didn't happen overnight. Even when my wife started training, like, everything was, and this is a perfect example. When I always tell people that, like, when a beginner starts to train, the biggest difference is their aerobic, or every run is like anaerobic or aerobic threshold. There is no, like, since you've never ran before, you don't have any zones or anything like that. soon as you start running, you're pretty much in like anaerobic threshold, and that's why most people hate running when they start running, because it's like your body just thinks everything's like, sorry for this word, but everything sucks because you know everything is hard, and that's why most people just say I hate running and stuff. The reason people hate running is because imagine, of course, imagine me going out there right now and running a tempo on every single day. I couldn't last. I'd get burned out. But running is not about that. Running is not about like not enjoying it. Because when I go out, you know, if I even like if I look at like you know if I look at my training logs and I look at it like I every day, you know, most of my days is, you know, I'm running at 120 to 130 beats, you know, for my easy days. And that's a lot of my days. And of course at that point, you know, you gotta think that I'm running from 65 to 70% of my heart rate. And of course I'm not like it's easy. It's supposed to be easy. It's enjoyable. I don't feel any pain. Like I'm just jogging. I can talk to couple people, full conversations. I can listen to podcasts. I can even have a phone call. It to me is just a nice, easy running. So it re-energizes me, right? So the same thing for you guys. Like, you know, when you go for a run, you know, does it energize you in easy day or does it knock you out? If it knock you out, then it was not an easy run. And that's why I always say, well, look, once you know you know, heart rate training is very easy if you understand the basics and if you stick to the rules, you know, and that's what you want. You want to create bigger gaps between your heart rates. Because if you haven't, that means you're aerobically, well, not developed yet. And it's gonna take time. Like, you know, if you go out and if you can't run even at 70%, you got to almost walk or something like that. That just means you're not aerobically well developed. And that's the thing that you have to, like, you have to accept where you are. You can't go around this. Okay. I've always told people, like, you can't force it. Even though if you feel like you're not working, you're not teaching your body. You want to make sure that you develop those gaps. Because once you develop those gaps, they're with you forever. So, as long as you keep running. So once you become like, you know, of course, if I take 2 months off now, all of those things will disappear. But if I know that consistency is the king, I pretty much know that, hey, I don't need to go crazy all the time, every time. I just need to make sure that I'm consistent, that I'm out there every day. You know, some days I'm running easy, some days I'm pushing the envelopes. You know, I have these zones like, I know exactly that, hey, on my really chill days, I keep it once, you know, 120 to 130 zone. And I don't care what my pace is. I know that it's gonna be anywhere, you know, anywhere between 6:45 to 8 flat. And I just enjoy that, you know, like, I don't really mind. Because anyway, think about it, you know, even 7 minute pace for me. 7 minute pace is it is pretty much easy run, because if you look at it, you know, if my half marathon pace is at 5:06, so I'm running just about 2 minutes slower, right, on my easy days, and this is my normal easy days. I still go even slower sometimes. I'm going 2 minutes slower, guys. So take your half marathon. You know, if let's say if you want to run 6 minute mile. Your easy day should definitely be like 8 minutes or slower. I mean, that's a given. Even those days when I ran my first marathon many, many years ago, I did a lot of miles at 8 flat. And what it allowed me to just become strong. I'd be able to go to the forest, you know, for 1 hour and just run easy. You know, I didn't really care about anything else. So it's quite important, guys, that you know you understand what your aerobic threshold is, and that if you want to improve it, that you understand, like, you don't need to go out there and hammer every day. You just need to improve. Like, look, I take that number. Look, in my case, even I take 30 beats off that. So if I know I can run a marathon at 157, I take 30 beats off that, and I'm at 127. So a lot of my miles in training are definitely under 127, which means it's that 80% or easy. It's a lot of like enjoyable miles. So obviously, I've already maximized some of that. So I sometimes have to go up and increase 10 beats. Sometimes there's specific days where I say, hey, today I'm running at 140. And if you think about it, 140 is still like 76% for me. It's still considered easy because anything easy is considered like up to 77%. But that's like kind of like aggressive easy. And which still would be 17 beats below marathon effort, something I can maintain for, 2+ hours. So think about it. It's if you're even good at, I always say that I can run a lot of miles at that 140, and it really gives me that extra fitness boost. Okay, so basically, if you go by your heart rates, if you say you go 120, 130, 140, 150, 160, and plot it down and see where the big gaps are for you. Where are you good and where are you all of a sudden you don't become good? Because think about it, the problem a lot of us face nowadays is that if especially if you're aerobically not well developed, just because you're aerobically not well developed doesn't mean you should be slow, okay? But if you're gonna participate in a race that's longer and you're going to be trying to be competitive, you have got to put in the miles, and you've got to be aerobically well developed. You can get away in track and shorter distances, but as soon as you start running something that takes longer, your aerobic system is not well developed, you're not going to be able to maximize your potential. So, ask yourself, well, what if you're not very good at, at lower heart rates, then of course you're not. You can't just say, okay, I'm just gonna skip that step and I'm gonna go to the higher heart rates and I'm just gonna push. You're gonna run out of real estate. You're gonna get injured. You're gonna lose motivation, and you're just not gonna be able to do it in a sustainable manner, which is forever, all your life. This isn't like, hey, I'm jumping in, I'm jumping out. This is more like, hey, enjoy every day. Make this fun, make this training, enjoyable, where you can reach your best levels as a runner. And then plot it down. I always ask my athletes, plot it down. Like, hey, if you go out for a run and you all of a sudden, even an easy run, you start running something like, your heart rate is even up to like 130, 140, 150, and you're not even moving. Think about it. Like you're pretty much giving up all the beats already. And if you want to go faster, it's gonna be difficult because you don't have that gap. Okay, the difference between your easy and your threshold is so small that it's you need time. You need to make sure you need to take time and practice each of the heart rate zones. And sometimes there's even time of the season where if we don't have races and things like that off season, we're gonna go with a lot of my clients and athletes that I coach, and we just practice at we just say, like, let's take 3 months and let's really develop these heart rates. And then we come back to train for the next season, we're gonna be in really good shape. So you go in there and you say, hey, I'm really becoming good at this heart rate. I've really been able to establish the 130, the 140, and the gap is being bigger. And also, if you can, like, for example, in my case, if I'm looking at by numbers, like 70% and 75%, if you think about it, it's only 5%, right? So you'd be like 130 and 140. 130 heart rate can give me like 7 flat, but 140, right, can get me like even closer to 6 flat. So that 10 beats right there gives me 1 minute per mile faster. Think about that, And then if I go from 140 to 150, obviously you're not gonna get minutes as you go on, right? There's a certain thing. But if I go from 140 to 150, and now I'm probably, theoretically it could be like, okay, then I should be, getting closer another minute. But no, now from like 140 to 150, I'd say I might drop like another 30 seconds. Okay. And then from one from like 150 to 160, I might drop another 10 seconds. From 160 to 170, I might drop another 10 seconds, and so on. Obviously, the closer we get to there, the bigger our gap. So that's a good question right now, asking myself as I saw. So that we should be able to, the more we can spend time training in those, the other ones that you feel like, okay, I think I've maximized this one. I think I've maximized this one. Let me go into the third zone and maximize that one. So now let's say I say from what, if I can maximize my 140 to 150, which is pretty aggressive zone, but that's more like a moderate zone. I always know that good results happen. A lot of people call this gray zone, but to be honest with you, I just look at it as like a fitness curve. I said, look, I gotta, you know, if this thing is sometimes not strong, that 75 to 80%, which we call that moderate, if that thing is not steady and strong, your results are also not going to be strong, because you need to have that, you need to be pretty good at that one too, because that's like, that's the support, guys. That's the support for everything, for easy runs, and that's the support for the fast runs. You gotta have, you know, you gotta be pretty decent at that. So anyway, guys, aerobic threshold is something that, you know, you can keep improving that, and it hasn't been told like how much you can improve, but honestly, the longer, the more you run, the better your heart becomes, the more efficient you become at running, and the better you improve. And, you know, that's why I used to always wonder, you know, how are people running fast? Or, you know, I always wish to be able to run like under 25 minutes 8K, but now I'm doing it at an older age. I'm doing it like every time I race an 8K, I can run under 25 minutes. But I could have never, you know, I could have dreamed of doing that in college. I never even came close. And I was working way harder in college, way harder. Intervals, all of that crap, you know, nonstop. But nowadays, you know, I'm doing more easy running, more strength running, but I'm still being able to do some fast times. And it's because we have understood more distance running. Well, we always understood more distance running, but it's just like, I think I think a lot of people that start new in running or have not developed their aerobic threshold is the ones that are really struggling and always get injured and stuff like that. Another thing, guys, you know, when you get in good shape and you get a good aerobic threshold, you don't get injured as much because you're running most of your miles easy, and you have a nice balance between hard and easy and moderate, and your body is always in harmony, and that's so important. A lot of times, you know, when you're always pushing, you're in a zone that you're not in consistent, you know, position to be able to always be the best. You always give up some things and things like that. So really focus on, you know, on just being patient and know that it takes time. You know, like I've had seasons where I just, you know, only dropped, like I'll go in the off season on like for a month or two, but I only drop a little bit of time. You know, I didn't drop much, but those are things that are important to, you can always still race and do other things, but you know, you have to understand that like, if you're not good at lower heart rates, if you're not good at middle heart rates, you're not going to be good at high heart rates. You know, the pain and the lactate is going to be too much. The legs are going to hurt too much. And it's not that you're going to say something, running is not for me, or this is tough, I'm mentally not strong. It's not that. It's just that you need to take time, and you need to take time. You know, and it takes years. It's the only sport where it's not like golf or hockey or anything. But although, you know, in those years, sports, it also takes a long time. But in running specifically, it just takes a long time to do all these things. And, you know, you got to be patient, and you got to love what you do. You got to love the numbers, and you got to love, you know, I enjoy coaching. I enjoy running. I just love everything about running because it's something enjoyable for me, you know, helping others and understanding all this. I've trained with heart rate for a long time. I train others with heart rate for a long time, and it's something that I found a formula that works if you stick to it, if you understand it, you know. A lot of times, you know, it's just takes it's just like we don't want to agree with something because we don't really fully understand. And it took a long time for me to specialize and to understand fully how am I going to use these programs to help others. And noticing a lot of times people struggle with heart rate training is because of this thing, because they find out that the first thing they have to do is they have to run very slow. And the reason they have to run very slow, guys, is because you're not aerobically well developed. And in you know and then it gets kind of boring because you kind of say, well, ah, this sucks, I don't want to do this, I'm running so slow, what's the point of it? And you give up. And then people give up and give out, and then they go back to their old ways of pushing, 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 and that gets them nowhere. And it's not the it I honestly I can tell you like 100 plus individuals that have gone that route, and it always gets them nowhere. It's you gotta be patient, you gotta improve your lower zones, and that's gonna take time. But once you do, guys, the good news here is once you develop that, and I'm just using an example on me, but I coach a lot of people. I've seen people all of a sudden be like, wow, coach, I'm finally starting, somebody after like 6 months, like, wow, I'm a different runner than I was a year ago. And I always say, look at this is always something that can, if you stick to it for all life, you will eventually get really good at each zone and running. Next thing you know, you will be running faster than you ever imagined and with less effort. And that's what running is all about. Our endurance is pretty much unlimited. We're unlimited to how much we can improve aerobic endurance. We're limited by speed, but if you can really improve your endurance to the point where you're running at high fraction of your maximum speed. And that's what a lot of elites do. Like if you look at like people that are running marathons and half marathons, those guys can't even go too faster. If you say, oh, imagine what he can do in a 2 minute or 3 minute sprint, they can't do nothing much different. They're already at maximum the fraction of their speed. They just developed the endurance to the highest point possible. And that's why I always tell people, I said, look, be patient. If you're patient, things will come to you, and you will really, really improve, and you will really enjoy training. And you'll understand this, once you put everything together, at some day you will understand, and you will be like, wow, I now understand what this aerobic threshold is about, what Coach B was talking about. I understand lower heart rates, middle heart rates, high heart rates. I understand how it all correlates to everything, And look, once you understand heart rate, and you understand if you know how to like match up with paces and effort, then it's even more wonderful because now you understand the whole concept. You understand everything. Like what, even if you forgot your heart rate, you already know how to run at 130 or 140. Because when I go run, I don't have to take my heart rate. I can go without it, and I would be able to describe you, tell you exactly within one beat what I average. That's to the point. So, but I still always have it, so that way I have my information. But other than that, I don't need to look at my watch every second. Once I put my body in a certain heart rate, I already know about how that effort feels, and I just maintain there. Nothing's changing much. You're not slowing down or going up, unless you're doing a fartlek session. So anyway, guys, aerobic threshold is the key development that can be, we can keep improving and improving. The hardest part of it is the first, if you're not well developed, it's the first 5 years or maybe 3 years. I don't know. I don't want to put a number on it because as long as it takes, guys, as long as it takes for you to develop that. And once you develop that, there's a whole another running world out there that you'll discover, and you'll be like, wow, now I understand why these people are running fast. Now I understand how these people are making it look effortless. And it's not about who works harder in distance running. It's a lot of times coaches have taken that approach, and it just doesn't work like that. It's not about that. Of course there are people that can push it more than some of us, but look, I'd rather enjoy the aspect of running. I'd rather like I love it. I want to enjoy every aspect of it, and I want to be, if I'm not good at something, I'm gonna go ahead and take my time, and I'm gonna have improve those so that way I can become a better runner. And that's what I always try to do to all of my athletes. I said, look, First things first, we might have to slow down if the heart rate says that. If it doesn't, then we're not gonna have to slow down. I always follow what the heart says, and if the heart says that you're not aerobically well developed, then that's what I'm gonna have to do. I'm gonna have to slow you down to get you faster later on. There's no way around it, because if we skip that first step, guys, if you skip that, if you're not aerobically well developed, there is no way around it. It's like being broke in a bank and thinking that you're gonna buy a car. You're just not gonna be able to buy anything. You're gonna have to use a credit. And we all know about that. Okay? You're gonna have to return all that money, and what's credit is not yours. So you wanna make sure that you run like a debit card, not like a credit card. So I thought that's pretty funny. But anyway, guys, I hope that you enjoy this episode. Remember, aerobic development is huge. You want to have gaps, you want to be good at every heart rate, you want to maximize each heart rate zone. And that's just one aspect of training that I specialize on. And I always tell people, like, hey, and I would say that 80% of my people, clients, would say, like, Coach, I hate these easy days because I almost have to walk. And I tell them, I wish I can tell you to skip that. I wish I can tell you to skip that process, but I can't. If I tell you to skip that process, all of that, then I don't know how to, in the future, help you improve in the long run. Because everything of my coaching is in the long run. If I was to for you to just worry about you getting the results tomorrow, and so then I can skip all this, and we can just say, you know what? Forget about it. We can go aggressive, and maybe you'll have one good season and that's it. But I'm looking at it as of like, I want you to enjoy training. I want you to enjoy the process. I want you to understand how the body works, and I want you to succeed, and I want you to get better every year. And because that's gonna be an individual, because you're in this sport because you love it. You're in this sport because you enjoy the process of self-improvement. But if you can understand all of these things, and you learn everything, it becomes fun. Because at some point, clients and athletes that I coach, they all sometimes people go, to different sports, or sometimes they don't run anymore, or sometimes they decide to run on their own. My goal always as a coach is that no matter what, whether sometimes people are with me, sometimes they're not, I want to make sure that people are always enjoying the sport for what it is, and they're understanding what running is about, and that they're enjoying what they do in life. So thank you so much, guys, and hope that you've learned something from this episode, and we'll talk to you on the next one.